Okay, my friends, we're ready to get started. We've been speaking here a lot about the inyan of having a gishmak. And it's maybe the gishmak is somewhat superficial. Maybe it's even, you know, it's not the real gishmak that a person should be getting out of his Avedis Hashem, but at the same time, it's something that a person is taking with him. It's something, it's bringing him, like making a connection, a tam in his Yiddishkeit. We said there's two different types of tams in your Yiddishkeit. There's a tam in your Yiddishkeit, which is a reason for why you're doing these, and there's a flavor, like a child who remembers the night of the Seder. I still fondly remember my Zeda's Seder in North Bergen, New Jersey. I remember as a little kid, I don't remember what, I just remember the excitement. There was like, it was something, yeah, I remember the Afikomen, you know, everyone always like, you know, the all the rules of how to hide the Afikomen. But it brings back very, very fond memories, and people that create fond memories towards their Yiddishkeit. So that's something which is a very positive thing, and we're a person that should try to do that. And if we have other types of children, or young people, they create certain affinities which are unhealthy, and that's the type of thing that a person can do, which is going to create that we have to like undo that. We have to fight against it, and that type of thing. I give you an example of something that's like that. People sometimes they wear sports jerseys. Now sports jerseys, aside for the halachic problem, which you could speak to Rabbi Wiener about it, but I'm pretty sure he said you're not allowed to wear a jersey with the name of a Gentile on it. A person is not allowed to wear, if you have a jersey that would say someone's name, and you're wearing it because you think that he's cool, so then you're not. Then it's usher to wear that jersey. I'm quite confident Rabbi Wiener passed in that way. If it was just, let's say, a Lakers jersey and it didn't have a name on it, so then it would be fine. But if the jersey says 32. 23? Okay. RIP was 24. Kitzer, if it has 24 on it, and you're wearing it because you thought the 24 was such a cool guy, then it's us to wear. But we're leaving out the halachic. That halacha you have to deal with at a different time for a different reason. But just the idea of a person, like, what is he creating? Like, what's my gishmak in my life? Where's my gishmak? I had a Talmud that they recently put out a new line of clothing. It's called Buha. Buha is the name of the line of clothing, which is coming off of Reb Chaim says Bracha V'Atzlacha. So they have there's a line. It's really cool. He's got caps and jerseys. And I think that's the coolest thing. I think that's great. If people walking around wearing Buhas, I think that's amazing. One of the things that we're that we dream of is making a line of clothing that's called Ivri. It's the Ivri line, which is from the saying Ivri Anoichi, which is the person knows who he is. He knows that I'm an Ivri, I'm a Jew, and I'm proud. I'm proud that I'm Jew. And that's it. I don't have to try to be someone else and try to like wear someone else's jersey or like someone else's label and like, 'cause I want to be like him or anything like that. And these types of things make a very big difference. If a person is like gets excited about Reb Chaim Kanievsky and gets excited about seeing Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and goes to Bnei Brak and he goes and he sees like for 3 seconds, people go and they wait online for getting tickets to watch a bunch of Goyim throw a ball around and go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I gotta wait so long. What do you gotta wait so long? You go waiting at the garden like to sit there and you scalp tickets and you sit all the way in nosebleed section just so that you could be say that you're in the same room. But if a person gets excited about this, is what gets excited about. I remember one time I was at a wedding in Bnei Brak with the Rav Goyin, Rav Meir Bronstein, Shlita, Rav Shiva, and Rav in Five Towns. And he disappeared in the middle of the wedding. So where'd he go? He says, I can't be in Bnei Brak and not go to Sri Reb Chaim. I can't. He's like, what? He was like, mate, imagine you're in Bnei Brak. And he's like, so he left the wedding. He just had to sneak out. He ran out. He went to just take a peek and come back. I mean, this is the things that he like gets excited about. He starts like, starts shaking, like he's like, Reb Chaim's here, like it's like unbelievable. Like that is great. If a person has that type of excitement, and a person can do the same type of thing with clothing. A person, sometimes some people wear gartels. You have the thin, like the thin gartel goes around a lot of times, or you wear the thicker gartel. Do you knot it over here or on the sides? Do you let the long part? Like some people say, like, come on, that's ridiculous. Like that's not Yiddishkeit. It's not, but it is. It's getting excited about your Yiddishkeit. You know, sometimes people, they wear hats, they wear this crusty, you know, dirty hat. It's better than not wearing a hat at all, for sure. For sure it's better than not wearing a hat at all. Some people say, is it better wear, okay, I say, is it better, like if you wear pants or no pants? So my pants are dirty. I say, I'd still rather you wear pants. Why? Why the dirty pants? What do you wear pants for? It's the same thing with a hat. You wear a hat, is it better than no hat? Yes. But if a person has a nice hat, it's like that. I happen not to, I think the hats are way too expensive. I right now don't own a Borsellino because I just can't begin myself to spend that type of crazy money. But at the same time, you know, a person wears, you know, he gets all of the little things, but if a person gets excited about them, and then he creates some sort of connection, it's something that he feels warm towards. That is a person's building, and on that he could build a deeper meaning and understanding and appreciation for all the things we do in our Yiddishkeit. Baruch Ata Adonai Melech Haolam. Okay, we're on page Chof Gimel. We're on the bottom. We started this already last time. Not that we're coming here to tell you all about chinuch and to give you all of the, you know, all the different details, the pratim. We're just dealing with what the main problem is nowadays. So you have to be more careful about this. In previous generations, didn't have to be as careful about this. Used to be Yiddishkeit was dry, and that was okay. Nowadays, we got to spice it up. And the way that the Avos Habama and the Derech, they have to go, Rashamnu Bazeh, we have written down over here, recorded, Laman Yisham Shula Toiv, use it for the good. Gam Ima Adam Amaril, Hainu Yeshis Eled. Ima Eres Amaril, even with this poison, this toxic poison, Hainu Yeshis Eyel, this individuality, this personality, Sheik Damnu Latzis, which is coming out too early. Veshar Prote Achinuch, all the other details. All the other parts of chinuch, yichapsu amalamdim, they should look themselves. Va'avos b'toyra seinu achdoisha in the Torah. Why? V'yimtzou eskol anochetz lehem. They'll find there everything that's pressing for them, everything that they need. They'll find in the Torah. Ki lo yachadosha isbanu lechadesh. We're not here to say anything new. Chas v'shalom. Torah seinu nitzchiyis. Our Torah is eternal. Ve'ad lo netzach. Moir hilanu esaderech. And for eternity, it is going to guide us. This Torah, Asher Na'al Le'Boel Hashem, the way we can go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'esha Maisa Asher Na'aseh, and it will instruct us the actions that we have to do, V'chol Prat, U'v'chol Inyin, in every single topic, in every single situation. L'mashal Gamor Ha'imeres. Listen to this. The Rebbe is so insightful, he's so brilliant. Here he goes. L'mashal Gamor Ha'imeres. The Rabba Mekame De Pasach Lehu. Rabba, before he started, saying shir, l'rabbanon, amar milsa debedichasa. He said a joke. Rabba said something, a milsa debedichasa, ubadchi rabbanon, and the rabbanon there all laughed. He made a joke, and people smiled, they laughed. L'soif, but at the end, Yosef be'emasa, upasach b'shmaitza. Okay, everyone, relax. And then they started to, like, get focused. It started off, you know, it started off like more relaxed, and afterwards, focus, and let's get serious. Why did he do that? Ad kan lashon gemara. Es hamilsa b'dichasa, the joke. Amar mikoidem, kidei shiyu b'simcha. Should be happy. Everyone should be happy that you like be in a good mood. Ki ein hashchina shayra ala mitoich simcha. The shchina only comes when there's simcha. Kamo yisha amra shama gemara. The gemara says that that's the reason. Avol Torah kepatish yefaitze tzela, but Torah is like a hammer, a sledge that smashes a rock into smithereens. Shemachal kalakama nitzoytzes lakama tamim. Uledoireinu meramezes lanu gemara oid derech l'rav matamim. This is the simple reason of why he says. Simple reason is because a person has to be happy. I always appreciate it. You know, there is people who have come here to speak, whether it was Rabbi Gav Friedman or David Orlovsky, they often have a tremendous amount of content. And if you would just, you know, if you just block out all of the humor, you'll see they're really giving over very powerful messages. But somehow people like take it better when it comes together with a few jokes, because it just gives puts you in that mood where you're like, you're ready to listen. You're like, you know, you're open because you're relaxed. That's what a joke does. It like it, you know, it puts people in a good mood, and that's the pashut pshat in why a Rebbe should say a joke before he says a shir. I know that even the Briskerov, there's, you know, I don't know if you know this about the Briskers, but the Briskers are very into, like, into every single thing that the Reb Chaim did, the Briskerov did, like, everything they recorded, you know, that they ever, every nuance, anything, there's like a joke that one time the Briskerov, he had to get a flashlight for Bedikas Chametz, so he went into the closet and he took out a broom. As he took out the broom to get the flashlight, he told the people around him, I'm telling you, I want to say in front of everybody that I'm taking out this broom, but this shouldn't become a minig to take out a broom before Bedikas Chametz. And he put the broom back in. And then next year, everyone took out the broom and said, I'm saying in front of everybody, this shouldn't become a minig, and he put it back. Because everything the Briskerov did, that's what everyone did. So the is the Briskerov's joke that I heard from Rameir Stern, Zolzang Gesundensteig. The Briskerov's joke was the following thing. He was learning the sugya of Hidur Mitzvah. Learning the sugya of Hidur Mitzvah. And in the sugya of Hidur Mitzvah, so there's certain things that we discuss in the Braisa. A person should have tzitzis no, should have nice tzitzis, sefer Torah no, right? So one of the girsas that they have is you should have a beged no, you should have a nice garment for on his tzitzis. And it's not just the talis no, it's his talis no. No, it's not just the tzitzis, but the beged should be nice. And the Briskerov didn't understand why should the beged be nice. The beged isn't the mitzvah is the tzitzis, right? So he said, would a person think that he has to have like a big, beautiful house because he puts a mezuzah on the front door? You think that that's, you should have a big, beautiful house? That was the joke, by the way. That's the joke. That is the Brisker joke, but it's written down. This is the joke. The Briskerov chuckled. He said this joke. So you have to have a big house when you, even the Briskerov says Brisker jokes, but there's an idea of having a milson de b'dicha, so just that people should realize there should be a light moment before a person starts learning. However, there's another idea. Listen to this. Another idea. Uladoireinu miramezes hagemara oid eza inyan larava melamed. In our generation, there's something else which we're supposed to learn here. Shekedei lirape, in order to heal. Es petza hisrachakus, the distance that there is between a Rebbe and a Talmud. Shenase ben a Talmud la'malamed. There's a natural distance that's happening that we see more in this generation than previous generations. Tzarech ha'malamed le'ishtadel liknois es lev ha'talmud. You have to try to... Pikoina, to acquire, you have to try to find a way to like to grab a hold of the Talmud's heart. Veloshiv lekarveo, bring him a little closer. Bring him a little closer to you. Ve'asimcha hi echad me'ikar ha'imtzayim leknoisai. One of the ways is through happiness, through doing something that has simcha, that a boy should feel that he's not, he doesn't feel the same distance. He doesn't feel like his Rebbe is from like a different planet. His Rebbe is from a different generation. His Rebbe like doesn't understand him. To try to like create a certain closeness between a Rebbe and a Talmud. So you say something that's like light, a joke. It helps with that you should create that bond. And when in a generation when there's too much distance between Rebbeim and Talmidim, this is perhaps one of the tools that we have to use. Nefesh hayelad v'hanar ino sevelos es ha'atzvos. A young man doesn't tolerate atzvos' depression. I heard once there was a Rav speaking in Eretz Yisrael, Dikir Rav. He said something, and I hear where he's coming from. And he said that the main reason why Bachrim go off the derech is because their Rosh Hashiva doesn't smile enough. Now, I accept if anyone ever wants to remind me that I should be smiling, I'm happy to do that. I try to remember that and smile as much as I can. But you're looking, and there's just, it's too heavy. He's like, I'm not down for this. It's too heavy. It's too much. If it looks like depression or sadness or anger, it's just, it needs to be light. It needs to be geschmack. And Reb Moshe Feinstein writes about this extensively. He writes about this. And Reb Moshe is famous for saying that there's a one saying that wiped away an entire generation of Yidden. And that saying is, Se schwer zu sein a Yid. Reb Moshe asked the following question. He said, I don't get it. He said, there's people that came over from Europe and they survived the Holocaust. And they were moiser nefesh for Shabbos, moiser nefesh for Yiddishkeit, moiser nefesh for kashrus. There was nothing in America. America was barren. There was no food to eat. There were no restaurants. They went from job to job, week to week, to be moiser nefesh for Shabbos. You'd figure that their children would be amazing, and their children went off the derech. How did that happen, asked Reb Moshe Feinstein. And he said, the answer is, because if you come home with a krechts, and you say, se schwer zu sein a Yid, so the children are not down for that. They're not interested in that. It has to be geschmack zu sein a Yid. It's a stolz zu sein a Yid. I'm proud to be a Yid. He was telling a story. The legend goes, Reb Moshe Feinstein, there was someone who, like we said, they'd go week to week. They'd go week to week getting fired from their job, getting pink slips. And there was a Yid there that took the pink slips and he hung them in his sukkah as his noi sukkah. He's like, this is his badge of honor. He was proud of the fact, yeah, I'm proud to be a Yid. And I'm proud I was fired from all these jobs because I will not work on Shabbos. And he made it into something that was his, like, that was his decoration. So that type of person, his kid walks around with a private. Someone walks around stressed out. And he walks around saying, look, it's rough, it's rough, it's rough. So the kids are like, I'm going to look for something that's a little bit more enjoyable. So we have to start off with a little geschmack, with some simcha, with a milsa de b'dichasa, because the younger generation, they're not soival atzvus. Hamalamed al yisro'eh be'enov, kiragzin v'ish madoin. The malamed can't be seen in his eyes as an angry person. He can't be an angry person. Lo sheyokeles roishoy. It doesn't mean that he has to act like a child and act with kalas roishoy v'nei ha'talmud. It doesn't have to be like embarrass himself either in front of him. Adraba, Hamelamed Yishtadel. Hamelamed should try. Lehareyu Atalman Kish Miroimam. He should see him as an exalted person. He should see him as an elevated person, as a lofty person. Avol Gam Leish Toiv VeNoyach, but also as a good person, as an easy person. Gam B'sha. Even when the Rebbe is like making the jokes or showing him his softer side, Yirat Talmud, the Talmud should still be afraid of his Rebbe. Same time, shouldn't be like, you know, like one of my Rebbeim once said. He said, a Rebbe is not a man's best friend. Dog is a man's best friend. A Rebbe is meant to be someone that a Talmud still has a certain degree of respect for. Somebody still has to have a certain amount of, you know, that there should be some reservation. Kavod means that I have a certain degree of fear, that there's something, it's not like, you know, buddy-buddy. It shouldn't be that way. That's a bizoyan for the Rebbe. Ve'af b'sha shematil of ema. Even when a Rebbe is showing his Talmidim a little bit of fear, and he is showing him a little bit, you know, showing him a stern eye. But kartov shel simcha, should still be a grain of simcha. Mahulba should be there. It's a balance. And it's a tricky balance. On the one hand, you know, it's very easy for a person to just be one of the boys. You know, you put your name on the sweater with the other guys and your email and your WhatsApp status and everything and just be like, you know, but that's lowering a Rebbe to a Rebs. And then there's a person who the Rebbe is like so removed from the Talmidim that the Talmidim feel like, you okay with that? You okay with that? And then the Talmidim feel like the Rebbe is like, it's too strict, it's too heavy, it's not the type of person at all that I would want to spend time with. So you need to create that type of balance. Gilu bira'ada. Gilu bira'ada means you have to at the same time be happy, but at the same time have like a certain fear or a reservation. Yirad mimenu. Fear of him, loy mipnei sharagsa, not because he's like an angry person, he's going to blow off the handle, or a kasan ubal egwa, for he's a violent person. No, rak yiras hakavod, certain respect for him. Klape ish mi bnei ha'aliyah, you see him as a person who is a person who, like, you know, from like the upper echelons, right? You see him as a person, as an important person, a person that you respect. Imarav doyme lemalach Hashem tzivokos. If you're Rebbe, you see as a malach. You see him as someone that's like from a different class. Then yavakish tor mipiv. Be'enei ha'talmud yidme harav ke'en malach beguf. In the eyes of the Talmud, the Rebbe should be like a malach. Oy ki'ish miroy me'malko panam. Okay, maybe not like a malach, but it's still like someone that you respect, that you admire. Ve'az, then gam kishiyar gizalav. Even if the Rebbe gets angry at him. The Rebbe can get angry at him. Even if the Rebbe gets angry at him. Lo yisne'eyu ha'talmud. The Talmud wouldn't hate the Rebbe for that. And when he shows him smile, yismach, and he'll love him more, and he will also fear him more. So the point is that it's supposed to have both of these components are healthy. A Rebbe should have the ability to criticize the Talmud, or even to show him disappointment or anger. As long as the Talmud knows my Rebbe loves me, he cares about me, and I want to make him proud. So then, that's a healthy balance, it's a healthy relationship. Those two things have to go together. And you need to be kind of the Lev HaNar in order to do that. Umam Ma'oid, Meir Lanu HaShloh. The Shloh HaKadosh gives us, enlightens us. He gives us instructions in how to be machanech this dar. Listen to this beautiful taich from the Shloah Kodesh. The pasuk says in Mishle, "Al toichach leitz." Don't give mussar to a leitz. Pen yisnoecha, because he might hate you for it. Hoichach lechacham, better give mussar to a chacham. Give toichacha to a wise man, v'yavecha, and he will love you. What does the pasuk mean? Says the Heilige Shloah HaKadosh. Kishe basa lehoichiach esulascha. If you're coming to give mussar to anyone else, you want to give someone toichacha. Al tezalzalehu. Don't be mazalzal him. Don't like berate, talk down to him. Al techarfehu. Do not berate him. Loimer leitz ata. You're a leitz. You're a leitz scoffer. I don't know a good word for leitz. You're a leitz. If that's what you say to him, yisnoacha, he's going to hate you. V'lo yishmalacha, he won't listen to you. Rak hoichiach lechocham. Rather, what's the right approach? Emoloi halochocham ato. V'lo matasekach. You're a chocham. You're such a wise person. You're such a good person. Why are you doing that stuff? That's beneath you. You're better than that. You're bigger than that. That's the way to give a person mussar. Realize that you're more than this. And then a person v'yavucha, then he'll love you. V'yishmalacha, and he'll listen to what you're saying. Ad kan l'shoyne ha'kodesh. I was talking to a Rav. His name is Rav Menachem Zupnik. Rav Menachem Zupnik. He's a Rav in Pesach. He was telling me a story about... There was a lady in the community who there was some issues with the tznius that was brought to his attention, and he had to do something about it. And he had spoken to her, and he had said to her, "You know, you're such a chash of a lady. You do so much chesed. You have such a wonderful home. You care so much." He says, "It's not befitting of a woman of your stature to go with this type of issue of tznius." He said right there at that moment, on the spot, she fixed it and it never went back. The problem never showed up again. Because if you speak to someone and you appeal to their good side and you say to them, "I respect you as a person," and of course, you know, if it's empty compliments, so then it probably won't work. But if you tell someone, "I do respect you, I see that you're a person that's growing, that's working on yourself, and this is beneath you," This is not something you should be doing. So then he'll appreciate it. If you just talk to him and tell him you're a low life, you're a nothing, nothing's ever going to come of you, he's just going to like write you off. And that's the way we have to be. So it's important for us to be able to give criticism, but at the same time, it should be done in the right way. It should be done with love. Ad kama tzrichim lihizoher b'doireinu bazeh. How much we have to be careful in this generation. Kishelev hanar. The heart of the younger generation, it's anyway so distant from us. And aside from that, it's so important to us. So we need to bring the heart of the younger generation closer to us.
The fateach is koichi atalmud shal haguf vehamoyach lotzeis misis rasam.
It'll help to bring out all of the koichas that the Talmud has, whether it's physical koichas, it's intellectual koichas. Ulischazek ulischazer betoyra ubeavoida. I spoke about it a little bit Friday night. Those that ate here the meal, we're talking about why there's a mitzvah on the korban pesach that veetzem loisishbru boy. The korban pesach can't have any broken bones. The chinuch brings down because it's the way of royalty. They don't eat, food with broken bones. Broken bones is for that's broken food. Someone that's like a king or royalty, all their food they're going to have, the bones are going to be complete. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to make an impression upon us. You are royalty. It's very hard. You've been going through years of being beaten physically and emotionally. Klal Yisrael is being beaten. And we were told we're slaves, we're told we're worthless, we're told that we're never going to get out of here. Then all of a sudden, we have to change our whole mindset, and it took a while. And it could be that's why Klal Yisrael had a rough time in the desert. They did. They had a rough time like believing in themselves, like, oh, we can't do this. I want to go back to Mitzrayim. Go back to Mitzrayim. What are you, crazy? I don't know if you ever heard of Stockholm Syndrome, which is like people, they want to go back. They were in captivity. It seems like Klal Yisrael was experiencing Stockholm Syndrome. We're going to go back to Mitzrayim. Go back to Mitzrayim? You nuts? Who wants to go back to Mitzrayim? It was horrible there. I was like, well, we want to go back to Mitzrayim. We remember we had free watermelon. It's like, free watermelon? That's pathetic. But it's very hard to get into your head. You are the chosen people. You are destined for greatness. You are royalty. It's like, wait a second. And then there's that moment where a person like realizes, yeah, I guess I am, And it doesn't make sense for a person of royalty to be walking around with a jersey of some schmeige who happens to know how to put a ball in a basket. You're so much bigger than that. It doesn't make sense for us to try to get haircuts to imitate the styles of some guy that knows how to rhyme and rap or whatever. It doesn't make sense that we're doing it. It's like, it's beneath us. We're bigger than that. We're better than that. We're more important than that. And when you give someone mussar that way, so then aside from the fact that then he feels like, you care about him and you bring him closer, but it works to make him realize who he is. Realize who you are. I shared an amazing statistic on Friday night, and I'm going to share with you another story, which is the opposite. An amazing story. The statistic I shared was that they were taking IQ tests of African Americans, and they gave it to 200 groups, two groups of 100. One group, they just gave them the test with their name, and they asked them to take and do the IQ test. The other group, they asked them their name, and they also asked them their color. Are you white or black? And believe it or not, the group that had to answer for their race actually did poorer than the group that didn't ask them for their race. Now, what would be the reason for that? Because they understand that subconsciously, why are you asking me this question? Am I white or am I black? Oh, because black people are stupid. So you're saying I'm stupid. And subconsciously, that subliminally went in and they just didn't do as well on the test. Because if someone tells me I'm stupid, I start feeling stupid. And that's the way it goes. And let me tell you another great story, which is the opposite. It's a story which, it's allegedly a true story, whatever it's written in a book, But the story goes like this. There were two yeshiva bachrim, and you might have heard me tell the story, because I love this story. Two yeshiva bachrim who were in a... They wanted to pull like a practical joke on one of their friends. They were in a pretty big yeshiva, and you know, these type of things that you get bored in the end of the winter's month. So this is, you know, some people make perm spiels, other people play practical jokes on their friends. So they're making this practical joke, and they go over to their friend, they see the funny, listen, you know, I have a cousin, she's older, and she really needs a shidduch. Do you mind maybe davening for her? Can I, please do me a favor, could you daven for her? Here's her name, give her the name. And he goes, did you daven for her? I daven for her. You daven for her? And he kept that. And then finally he says to him 2 weeks later, you never believe it. It's unbelievable. It's like a miracle. My cousin just got engaged. Thank you so much. You daven for her. And the other guy said to him, wow, I have a cousin that's not well in the hospital. This is the name. Could you daven for them? Two days later, it's a miraculous. It's a miracle. She got better. I can't believe it. You're this amazing davener. And like all of a sudden, people start like this is like all of a sudden, this guy in yeshiva becomes, you know, special davener person, and people are coming over with names, and he's writing down they're giving him kvitlach, and he's writing things down, and he's going, sure, I'm going to daven, and he's going, and he's came this whole baba yeshiva, the whole yeshiva's like into like this guy is like the big davener, miracles happening through his davening. Anyway, they figured after a few weeks of this happening, it's time for them to to tell him that the whole thing was just a joke. So they go to their friend and they say, look, Shlaim, I don't know how to tell you this, but it's not true. Like, what's not true? He says, you know, the whole thing with you being like special koyach hatfila and you're davening, say, it's not true. You don't, it's a whole thing, it's a lie. It's a joke. We're just joking. No, it's not. He said, yeah, it is. He said, no, it's not. No, I got it. I do, I can do it. I can daven and save people's lives, heal people, get people married. They're like, no, we were just joking. We made it up. And he was like, and you know, he was right. He was right. You know the difference between me and all the G'dayli Yisrael? They know that if they daven right now with all of their heart, that they will make a difference. If I knew that, my daven would be very different. If you knew that, your davening would be very different. So somehow this guy, someone tricked, I wish they would do that to me. I wish someone would do that trick to me, because it works. Because the truth is, if you daven, Hashem will answer, period. If you would just know what you have, if you would just know who you are, then you would be able to do these things. If we would just know what we're capable of, we know what difference our learning makes, we know what difference our davening makes. So we would see ourselves differently. If someone would get me to understand how important I am, so then I would walk around differently. I would carry myself differently. I would talk differently. I would walk differently. So we have to try to get it into our heads who we are. And a person realizes who he is. He says, okay, this is beneath me. I can't say those words. It's beneath me. It's below me. I'm bigger than that. And then we've unleashed the beast. You've unlocked the greatness. You've gotten everything that you have. It's all there inside of us. And the only thing that's holding it back is us. If we would just realize who we are, then we would become amazing. We'll continue next week.